Welcome to Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 44. And, you know, last week was the first podcast I did in about 7 weeks or so. I thought I was going to do another one during the week to kind of catch up to speed what's been going on with my post-surgery. But it didn't happen. The week got away from me. And I don't know, I think today might be I'll give you some post-surgery information, and I think then we'll be caught up, and then I can just get back into just being the comedic observationalist that I am. I mean, I still am, even with the other thing I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. Wow, what a week. What a friggin' week. What is going on here in the world? We had the election, and the election of the president. And gosh, it's just like, you know, you got one half of the country is ecstatic about the re-election of Barack Obama. And then you got the other half of the country is just angry and hostile and just hates this guy. It's just amazing that, you know, I don't get it. I mean, I don't understand a lot about politics anyway. I'm trying to follow. I do follow political things more than I used to. But I don't get it. I mean, for me, you know, like I voted for him, for Barack. I call him Barack or Barry. Because of his, he got this healthcare thing passed so that, you know, pre-existing conditions would no longer matter. And they haven't actually kicked in yet, but this company that I'm with started because of this. And so I was able to get insurance so I can get my hips fixed because it costs a lot to, you know, it's like $75,000. My insurance paid like $73,000 or something like that for a 2-day stay at a hospital. Healthcare system's broken. Okay. We need to, now the other thing I didn't realize is that, you know, employers are going to have to insure their, I'm not really sure about this, and I don't think this is going to stick, where if employers have to insure their employees, otherwise they're going to be fined like $2,000 an employee. I don't see that sticking. Just like the abortion thing with Romney and Ryan, Roe versus Wade was never going to be overturned. These were just BS kind of things. They didn't really get into the real issues. You know, listen to me. Like, I know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying that the abortion thing's not going away, okay? It's not going away, folks. And, you know, I don't like killing babies. I don't like killing fetuses. But, you know, I don't like killing anybody. I've never killed anybody that I know of. Okay? All right? Gosh. Feeling a little strange now. Anyway. But, you know, I was watching the election returns. And I tell you, you know, I'm looking at, you know, the massive groups of people, waving the flag, the American flag. And I tell you, there's something very, very creepy and scary about an auditorium filled with people just waving a flag. It's just something very weird and mind-controlled about it that makes me like, get those people away from me. You know, George Carlin had a line about that. He liked people one-on-one, but then when they get in groups and they start wearing hats and they start wearing hats. And I think the flag is like a hat. It's like the hat he was talking about. It's just like, all right already. And I thought Romney made a good concession speech. And I thought Barack Obama made a great acceptance speech. And thank God it's over with. I mean, what was this? Like, it's like the freaking, it's like American Idol. And they spent like, what, $1 billion each or $1 billion to total? It's ridiculous, the whole thing. And then I was surprised when I went to the polling place, Roseanne Barr was running for, I had no idea. Roseanne Barr, what What? Roseanne Barr? Okay, whatever. Did she ever have a chance? I wonder how many votes she got. But anyway, I'm glad that's over with, and now we can get back to the business of destroying this country. No, just kidding. Yeah, there's people, they think that that Barack Obama is destroying this country, and there's other people that think that he's doing great things for his country. And I think that we gotta stop arguing with each other. We have to stop the arguments, both sides are at fault. We have to say, okay, let's cool it. Let's talk this stuff out. Let's come up with some solutions, let's do it. I mean, we just keep hating each other, man. I haven't seen this country polarized this badly since, I guess, the Vietnam era and long hairs. That's nothing compared to what's going on now. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. So that's that. So I just had to mention, because it was election week, and I just wanted to kind of get that out of the way before I go into catching you up on my post-surgical stuff. So last week I told you about my stay in the hospital and my experience there. And so I was there for 2 days. I was there Friday. Got there in a Friday morning at 6 in the morning. And I left Sunday around, I think, 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Total bill, I think it is $75,000. That's one room. That's one person. So then I was supposed to be set up with some home health care. Now the thing is, in this country, because the health care system is all messed up, they just send you, they just do the deed, they do the surgery, and they send you home. And realistically, I mean, you really shouldn't be going home. You should be cared for a while. Like my friend Deb, my advocate, and one of the best stylists, and definitely the best colorist in this town, if not the country. It's so funny, during this period, my hair got completely out of whack. I just let it go, I let it grow, the grays were coming out, and at one point we were at my orthopedic doctor's office. Deb was with me, because she is my advocate, and I mentioned to the girl who's a nurse or whatever she does there, I said, I pointed at Deb, she's the best colorist in town, and the girl looks at my hair, which is completely out of whack, and she goes, I wouldn't be advertising that if I were you. And I just had to laugh, because it's like, okay, I better keep my mouth shut. But she really is. I mean, but I was out of whack. It wasn't her fault. It was me. And and Deb, who's married to Rudy, who's from Germany, and they have a very decent healthcare system in Germany, said that if it had just been Germany, I would have been in the hospital for like 1 or 2 weeks. Then I would have been sent to a rehab facility for a few weeks. And then I would go home, and I would be ready to rock and roll. But instead, they just kind of send you out into the world. Good luck, And I wanted to come home. I didn't want to go stay in. Deb and Rudy offered for me to stay at their house. But I felt, I wanted to be by my place. And so, I made it work. It worked. It was a little bit of a challenge, but I couldn't bathe. I couldn't shower. I mean, I don't want to gross anybody out, but I couldn't shower for one entire month, which my friend Jude told me that happened to her. But because you can't get, I took sponge baths. Don't anybody get, before you go crazy and turn this thing off and go, this guy stinks. I took sponge baths. And there's basically three areas in your body that definitely need to be confronted on a pretty much daily basis, and I became professional at that. I became a professional sponge bather. And the only thing, you couldn't get to the hair. Janet, who's next door, who is a home healthcare worker, she goes and helps people at home who recover from different things. She came over and gave me a shampoo. She shampooed my hair with this waterless shampoo. We just used a little bit of water, and it was amazing. It was my hair was completely clean. And she actually came over because I wasn't shaving, and she shaved me. And I don't think I've ever been shaven before. And so it was really amazing. And she did it all for free. I mean, she didn't charge me anything, and she gets very upset if I go and get her something. But I'm going to get her something at some point because I don't care if she gets upset. I mean, I care if she gets upset, but you know what I'm saying. She deserves something. She deserves to be treated with respect. I go home, and I was set up with a home health care company that my insurance approved. Your insurance has to approve it. And so first they send over this registered nurse, this RN. It's a guy, and he comes over, and he gets he takes your blood, takes my blood pressure, and he asks me pertinent questions. And but he didn't seem to do much else. I didn't really, get what his position was, because at one point my bandage, was kind of falling off, and he didn't do anything to kind of. I said, "Are you going to change the bandage?" "No, I don't change the bandage." "No, that's up to your doctor." Well, I had to get Deb to come over to help me tape it back up. It's just like he was pretty darn useless. My doctor, my orthopedic doctor, said that he said at one point, he said, "I could take a shower." I might have mentioned this last week. I'm not sure. Forgive me if I did. "I could take a shower. I just couldn't get the surgical part wet." And I'm thinking, how do you do? What do I take, a telepathic shower? I don't really know what you're talking about. And so this nurse, he said at one point, he came over and he said, "Well, you'll feel better if we can get you in the shower." And I said, "Yeah, but how are we going to do that?" He goes, "Well, you got any garbage bags, plastic garbage bags?" I go, "Yeah." So this is so ridiculous. He gets these garbage bags. I go, "Well, maybe, I don't know how many, but maybe it was just one big one." And he just like taped it to my body. And so I go into the shower. I turn the water on, and I accidentally got part of the surgical thing wet because it was like, and it felt like I was wearing a suit with this stupid garbage bag. And I got in there. I didn't even get to use any soap. I just got wet. He goes, no, stop, stop. So then I got out of that, and that was real helpful. And then they also sent over a physical therapist. Oh, this guy was peachy keen. He agrees to come over, and he says, "I'll be there between 2 and 4. I go, "What are you, UPS? Can you make an appointment?" "Well, with traffic and everything." "Well, yeah, traffic, but still, let's make an appointment." So we whittle it down to between 2 and 3, and he comes over, and he gives me some physical therapy exercises to do, and then he leaves me with these stick drawings that are, for me, I don't have the kind of, I'm not good with stuff like this. It's just like to decipher these drawings. I just had to kind of remember what these exercises were. I mean, some of the drawings I could decipher, but then there were ones that he kind of doctored or made on his own. And I go, I don't know what is this guy doing? What is this guy doing? But that company only lasted for about a week or so because they, when I went to see my orthopedic doctor, I told him about them. He goes, "We're getting rid of them, and we're going to get you what's called aquatic therapy, which is where you go into a swimming pool, and you do exercises in a swimming pool, because in a pool you're going to be weightless, and it's not going to be weight-bearing on your bones and joints and all that kind of stuff." So I started doing that, and we found another company to do that with. And I was expecting to walk into this place. It's a place right in my neighborhood. It's a little in a strip mall, so it's like in a store, basically, like the size of a store. I don't know. I was expecting maybe a cylindrical tub, a small tub. I didn't know what the hell I was expecting. So I walk in to this storefront, and there's an actual built-in swimming pool that would be the size of one that would be in like a typical apartment complex out here in LA. And although it's only 4.5 feet deep at the deepest. And, you know, you kind of share the pool with, if there's other people there. So I've been doing that for 2 weeks, and it's been very interesting. I think it's helping. I can't tell. I need to get my other side fixed, my other hip done, because that hurts a lot, and I'm going to be doing that in a few months. Gosh, this is a really hysterical podcast, isn't it? Ah, you're a bundle of laughs today. I mean, I can't believe the level of comedy that you are presenting on this podcast is astounding. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be entertaining, and I just don't know. I mentioned last week about the paranoia involved in not doing the wrong thing. They give you a bunch of... my doctor gave me instructions. The physical therapist gives you instructions, and they just bombard you with this stuff. And then you're supposed to, like, don't, you know, and like, don't cross your legs. Don't bend down. Don't do this. Don't do that. You get so paranoid that you're going to do the wrong thing and screw up your hip. And, you know, so it's just something I've had to deal with. There's a x-ray technician at my orthopedic guy place, and he was just, like, saying, you know, if I were you, I would use the walker until you do the second hip. I go, dude, I'm not going to use the walker. What am I going to go outside with the walker? How am I going to go shopping? You know, how am I going to do the things that I need to do in my life if I'm just walking with a walker? Don't you understand? Don't you understand who I am? And then he told me, don't stay away from what he said. He's telling me to eat. Oh, he's eat a lot of spinach or something. What am I, Popeye? What am I, Popeye? And then my doctor tells me, stay away from vitamin K, which I think is spinach, and because it clots your blood or it thins your blood. I don't know. It's just some weird stuff. Oh, they gave me some blood thinner stuff the first week I was home, and it turned my right leg purple, and I had to get off it. And that was very exciting. Again, this is very funny, huh? Al, his leg was purple. Honey, come on in. Al just said his leg was purple. I'm dying of laughter. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. They can't all be gems. They can't all be gems. One thing about, you know, I'm so, kind of gregarious at times in public. I get in the pool, and if I sense that people are open to conversation, that people are in the pool, I'll ask them what they're in for. It's almost like we're prisoners. We're in prison. You know, what are you in for? Oh, back? Hey, what are you in for? Robbery? What are you in for? Extortion? What are you in for? Hips? Extorting hips? What are you in for? What the heck are you in for? Crazy people. And I've been driving. I probably mentioned last week. I don't know. I am driving. I get to drive to my go-to supermarket, and I've been going to my go-to supermarket, and sometimes they have people out front who either selling something for charity, or they're trying to get signatures for a petition or whatever, and I'm using a cane now outside, just so I don't, fall down, because the other hip is, the other leg is not so good, and the new one is getting better. Anyway, just to be on the safe side, and it's easier to move, I use the cane. And so I see this kind of, I'm pretty good at reading vibes on people, and I see a guy in front of the store, and he's got this kind of crazy vibe. He's got a clipboard in his hand, and he's like one of these guys, the kind of guy that looks kind of like he's going to talk like this. Not like an old Jew, but something like it. And, I see he's stopped trying to talk to people. Hey, you want to sign this thing? You want to sign this thing here? And so I'm hobbling. And I see he looks at me. And then he turns around and goes into the store. And they have this, like an electric scooter that people use sometimes, which I've never used. Never felt the need to use it. And he gets in the electric scooter, backs it out and brings it out, and then he comes up to me and goes, would you like to use the scooter? And I go, no, I won't, thank you. And I know his intentions were good, But it's just like, you know what? Don't do me any favors. I'm not asking for your scooter. Don't try to do some kind of codependent scooter thing on me. Like you see a guy hobbling. I'm going to go get him I'm a codependent. I'm going to codependently get him a scooter. I didn't ask you for no darn scooter. You know? And so I was a little bit like terse with him. There goes that word again, terse. Because I was talking to somebody, this girl that works there. I didn't ask for no scooter, man. Just scooter out of my face. Put that scooter somewhere where you don't want it to be. You better get that scooter out of my face. And then another guy in that store, they have. I was going to go to the restroom. So I was waiting outside because there was somebody in there. And this guy comes and he's opens the door and he waves me in and I wave him out. And he waves me in and I wave him out. And he waves me in and I wave him out. It's like a dance. We were doing the wave me in and the wave me out. You know, and finally, I insist. You know, you don't have, listen, do I look like I can't hold the door? Maybe I do. I don't know. Maybe it's just, I can hold the door. I can get to the door. I'm getting better, better and better and better. I'm getting better and better and better, okay? So I don't need you to wave me in. You know, especially after the first or second wave out. Don't keep waving me in, okay? Don't keep waving me in. All right? Okay? If I say I don't want to be waved in, then don't wave me in. And, gosh, I think I'm coming to the last thing here. I had a little bit of a situation in traffic. I guess it was road rage, not on my part, on this other guy's part. It was sort of a mini road rage, but it was a red light. Once upon a time, there was a red light. And I'm at the red light. I'm actually many cars back because there's many cars. And then the light turns green and the cars start to go. But the car in front of me just sits there. So the cars are going. This car just sits there. And I give him a little like, eh. It wasn't like a hostile beep. It was like, eh. And then he starts moving up. Then he goes into the left lane because he's going to make a left turn at the light because now the light's turning red again. And as I pull up on his right side, he electronically rolls his passenger window down. And it's an older man. And he gives me this look. He goes, why don't you just go up there to the green light? Why don't you just go? And I was like, what did I do wrong, sir? I just was alerting you. You weren't moving. You were obviously looking at something else. I didn't say that to him. I said, sir, I tried to say that, and then he drove away. But it's just so funny how people get so on edge about things that, you know, and I swear, I didn't lean on the horn. I didn't yell. I didn't do anything. I just gave a friendly, like, hee, hee. You know, and it's just like, really? You're gonna get mad at me for giving you a hee? Boy, what would have done if I would have been really hostile? You know, but, you know, I don't want to be hostile to anybody, okay? Okay? I'm not going to be hostile to anybody because I love everybody in the world. All right, okay, I think we've come to the end of another podcast. So I think now we're caught up in the last 8 weeks of my life. It's kind of funny. I would have thought I might have had more podcasts in there, but I guess, you know, I'm finding that I'm getting more ideas as I get back out into the world because for like weeks and weeks and weeks, I wasn't leaving the building. Or there was, you know, I could go a whole week and not even actually leave the house because I was working out. In my house, I wasn't actually even, wouldn't even go outside, you know, for like a week at a time sometimes. And, or if I did, I would just go in the courtyard. And, you know, I think in order to get ideas for comedic ideas or any kind of ideas for podcasts or whatever, it's good to be in the world. It's good to get out into the world and, you know, interact. Beep at somebody, have them get really angry with you. So I'm starting to, you know, go out there and I'm getting more ideas is what I'm saying. So now I think I'm back on my weekly schedule of podcasting, and that's that. So I want to thank everybody and anybody who listens to my podcast. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. What else? I don't know. I'm spacing out here. You know, if you want to tell somebody about the podcast, people don't, you know, I don't think if you tell anybody, people aren't, don't generally, I don't know if that's how you get followers. So you tell somebody, maybe so, I don't know. Maybe. I still haven't figured out the iTunes store. That's like the big mystery. I don't even know what's going on with that. But I intend to, at some point, I will find a way. I'll find a way to get into the iTunes store, because there are so many people, so many podcasts that are in there. There's so many podcasts anyway, but a good deal of them are in the iTunes store. Somebody knows how to get in there, and I'm going to find that person or those people. So, again, thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.